When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly, from heaven, there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered, because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each of us, in our own native language?" Holy wisdom, holy word. Thanks be to God.
Happy Pentecost. We celebrate this day as the birth of the church. Usually the Pentecost reading is a little bit longer, and it lists all of those people's names from all those different parts of the world. But I decided to give Joe a break and just allude to the fact that there were people from all over the world that heard what was going on that Pentecost day. Every year we tell the story of the frightened, confused followers of Jesus hiding out after his death. They didn't know what to do, so they waited. I give them credit. They could have run away, but they chose to stay where they were and wait. They weren't sure what they were waiting for exactly, but they waited. And sometimes waiting is the best thing you can do. Then one day, there was the sound of rushing wind. Now, that could have been the pleasant sound of a cool breeze flowing through trees. Or it could have been the frightening sound of an approaching tornado. It's not clear in the text. And then there was the sight of flames in the air and then resting on the heads of the people there gathered. And then something happened. The followers of Jesus threw open the doors, went out to where there was a crowd, and started praising God in ways that people with diverse languages heard in their own language. This story is a reversal of the Tower of Babel story found in Genesis 11, 1 through 9. In that story, an empire embarked on a building boom, constructing a tower that was so tall that the builders thought that they might be able to storm heaven. God thwarted their plans by giving them a diversity of languages, and not being able to understand each other, the empire's plans crumbled. In some ways, the Tower of Babel story seems like an origin myth, you know, sort of like what a parent would tell a child who asks, "Why do people speak in different languages?" But there's more to the story. Towers are the product of concentrated wealth. Towers are the representation, generally, of a top-down hierarchical order. And they function that way too. Someone gets to live in the penthouse, and the caretaker usually lives in the basement. When seen in that light, the act of building a tower to storm heaven can be seen as replacing that which is ultimately true with an idea of ultimate truth that was more convenient for those in power, creating God in the image of the elite. In this story of Babel, the outcome of such an endeavor is the creation of divisions so deep that it is as if people are speaking different languages. Now, the Tower of Babel story was aimed directly at the Babylonians, who held Jewish people in captivity for a generation. It is the Babylonian Empire, with its mighty walls and towers, that the exiled Jewish community condemned with this story. The story of Babel is reversed in the Pentecost story. There's no tower, there's no imperial agenda, there's no unity of purpose with the rulers of the empire. Pentecost is the story of those opposed to the beliefs and actions of domination, fearlessly standing up and speaking out. The followers of Jesus awaken to a truth that has the power to unify people across all divisions. Pentecost story is the undoing of the destructive power of domination through a community dedicated to the God revealed in the words and actions of Jesus. As the Tower of Babel story shows divisive outcomes of domination, so the Pentecost story shows the unifying possibilities found in the practice of the loving compassion and justice of God. We all have been infected with the domination worldview. And that worldview wants us always to be looking for special powers and special people who have special powers. We're taught that God provides special support for God's chosen, just like kings and billionaires do. And with that as a frame of reference, when we hear the Pentecost story, we believe the followers of Jesus received a supernatural jolt of confidence and superpowers of communication, powers that crossed all linguistic barriers. But if God represents that which is opposed to domination, then we're challenged to look at this story differently. God didn't choose these people to bless with super confidence and ability. The disciples chose to follow Jesus. They chose to stay together and try to figure out what God wanted from them. What happened back then to those disciples could happen to any of us if we make the right choices. And all the special effects in this story are just poetic ways of talking about a life-changing aha moment. If it wasn't something supernaturally miraculous, then what did transform those frightened followers of a murdered prophet into a bold activist community? Well, those folks sitting in the shadows, talking through their experiences of Jesus, finally understood what Jesus was trying to teach them. The way to change the world was to share the love of God with all its political and religious implications, to share it boldly and without fear. Jesus went to the heart of dominating power in Jerusalem, even though he knew it was deadly dangerous. And by doing so, he demonstrated that the power of domination to control others is the power of fear. If you don't let fear control you, if you dare to embody the power of God's love, then you possess the power to change the way things are. It's not magic. It's just people waking up to what's always been there. Just as Jesus demonstrated the power of love, now the followers of Jesus would organize themselves to repeat that witness over and over again. The difference between a small, silent, fearful group and an active, vibrant, outspoken group is the faith that is no longer afraid. Faith that is stronger than fear. No magic needed. Just belief in the nature and enduring power of God's love. Right now, the Republican majority in the House of Representatives manufactured this debt crisis emergency to use the fear of economic disaster to achieve their own ends. What no one's talking about in this whole discussion is that $20 trillion of the $31 trillion national debt came about because of the Reagan, Bush, and Trump era tax cuts, which largely favored the wealthy. Add to that the trillions we've spent on the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan, and you have most of the current debt. Republicans will not accept taxing the wealthy as the solution to the problem tax breaks for the wealthy created, nor will they accept reducing the military budget. Instead, they wield the tool of fear to try to make life even harder for poor people. This is the ancient playbook of empire, of Babylon, of Rome. And as they follow this ancient playbook of shifting wealth and power away from the vulnerable and towards the powerful, they make the divisions of Babel in our nation even deeper. People are already so divided that it's nearly impossible to find common understanding of anything. The equitable distribution of rights and resources is an embodiment of God's love for all humanity. Some of the work of the love of God is the work of struggling for a better, more just world. Those efforts often lead us to the struggle for better government policies. Working for a better world also leads to the struggle for the worldview and values derived from believing that love and not fear is the foundation of a healthy society. Government is the communal expression of priorities. Religion is the communal expression of ultimate truth. If the religion or the government has gotten it wrong, the solution isn't to run away, to avoid participation, to fail to vote, or to become spiritual but not religious. It is to stand and fight for what is good within government and right within religion. Government and religion can be tools for God's loving order. God's love is a power that is stronger than that of billionaires or dictators. We don't need great intellect. We don't need superpower. We don't need piles of cash. All we need is readily available. Whether we are successful in the eyes of the world or not, whether we are admired and remembered or forgotten, is not the point of existence. It's about being a part of the eternal power and truth of God. What matters is living faithfully in the brief time we have on this planet. What matters is living with a purpose bigger than ourselves and the people we choose to love. What matters is the dream God has for all humanity and the power God gives to each and every one of us to embody that dream if we but awaken to it. How many faithful people huddled in that darkened room on that first Pentecost. It was probably fewer people than those gathered for this worship service today. Where would we be now if that small, dispirited group had chosen their doubts and fears over love and hope? Today, we do not celebrate God's supernatural intervention into the lives of Jesus' followers on that Pentecost morning. We celebrate that the difference between a defeated and dispirited community and an active and hopeful one is the very natural event of awakening to the power and possibility found in the love of God. A love that's always been there, awaiting our awakening. Today, we celebrate the shedding of fear that keeps us silent and submissive. We celebrate standing up and speaking out for justice and compassion. The first step in changing the world is awakening to the vision and power of God's self-giving, undaunted, and undying love, and then trusting that love to be stronger than that which scares us. God's love, working through us, is the power to change the world. And that's good news. Amen.